Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Thank you so much, Kyle. And good morning, everyone. And a very happy Father's Day to all our dads, our granddads, our stepdads, spiritual dads, father figures, and every man who's ever encouraged, guided, prayed, protected, served, and just invested in the lives of others. Today, we honour you and we thank God very much for you. But we also, just as Stephen prayed earlier on, recognise that Father's Day can bring a real mix of emotions. For some, it's joy and celebration. For others, it carries a bit of sadness, absence, grief, disappointment, or maybe just some complicated memories. But wherever you are today, I just pray that you would know the nearness and the faithfulness of our Heavenly Father. So let's just pray before we come to the Word. Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity to gather around your work today. And Lord, I just thank you that you are so good, you're faithful, you're kind, patient, and just full of grace. And Lord, help us today to hear what it is you want to say to us today. Just encourage the weary, strengthen the weak, and restore the broken. And Lord, I just ask that you lead us closer to Jesus. Amen. Amen. So if you want to follow along, there are some notes on YouVersion that you can find there. Well, it is Father's Day, and it's a wonderful day when dads everywhere receive gifts that they've just always dreamed of. You know, that new pair of socks, a new mug, maybe some chocolates, or maybe it's the apron that says King of the Grill, a tool that you might know or not know how to use, or maybe it's just a card with a corny joke that everyone's held before, but we still laugh anyway. And when I was choosing a Father's Day card for my dad, I was drawn to the ones that, you know, the kind of old-fashioned one that had some hammers and screwdrivers and bits of wood on the front. And the simple reason is that my dad loves a bit of DIY. And my dad's called Jim, and in times when we didn't know any better or it had a different connotation, I bought him a T-shirt that said, "Jim will fix it," because that is just what he was known for. Something was wrong, then Jim is going to fix it. And before retiring, my dad was a school janitor, and the kids would sing the theme tune of Bob the Builder. And they would sing, "Jim the Janny, can he fix it? Jim the Janny, yes he can." Or if they were feeling a wee bit cheeky, sometimes they would say, "No, he can't." But Dad was known for fixing things. And you know, that's really useful, because today we're in a generation where we believe that anything can be fixed by watching a YouTube tutorial. Or maybe there's a gadget or a power tool, a motivational podcast, self-help books, or positive thinking. Or if we're done with it or it's broken, we just throw it away. You know, we've got a plumbing problem, well, DIY. We've got a car issue, DIY. We've got flat pack furniture. I hate flat packs. Stephen's quite good at them, fortunately. DIY. Marriage issue, DIY. Anxiety, DIY. Sin, DIY. A broken heart, DIY. But life teaches us something important. Some things are too broken for human hands. There are problems that money cannot solve. There are wounds that advice cannot alone heal, and there are burdens that human strength cannot and should not carry. Father's Day reminds us that even the strongest, kindest, most loving earthly fathers cannot fix everything. Even my dad cannot fix it all. Even the best dads have limits. But here's the good news today. We have a Heavenly Father who can. Isn't that awesome? Psalm 127 verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain." And this verse reminds us that human effort is not enough without God's involvement. We can build, we can plan, we can work, we can organize, we can try our best, but unless God is building, leading, and sustaining, our labor will always, always be limited. Many of us carry the pressure of being the problem solver. And that's a bit like me. I like to be a bit of a problem solver. And dads can especially feel this pressure, we know. And it's natural that we want to protect the people that we love. It's natural that we want to provide, repair, rescue, and make things better. And that can be a beautiful thing when it comes from love, but it can also become really heavy. When we start carrying what only God was meant to carry. And some of us are not dads, but we still live with that same pressure. We feel responsible for everyone, every problem, every situation that is falling apart. And the Bible's really honest about this, and it's great that Kyle touched upon this in his communion as well. But even the great men and women of faith reached their limits. Moses could not fix Israel's rebellion. David could not fix his own family. Peter could not fix his weakness. The disciples could not feed the crowd with their own resources. Again and again and again, Scripture shows us that people came to the end of themselves. Sometimes it was in that very place where faith begins. John 15, verse 5 says, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And it goes on to say that apart from him, we can do nothing. And that's not meant to crush us, but that verse is actually meant to free us. The Christian life was never designed to be a DIY project. God never asked you to be your own savior. God never asked you to carry the weight of the world. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight. You see, some problems are bigger than we're able to deal with, but that's okay. Jesus is the Savior, healer and restorer. He can do what we cannot do. And right back at the beginning of the Bible, after Adam and Eve sinned, their immediate instinct was to try to fix it themselves. Genesis 3 verse 7 says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And to me, that must have been the first DIY project. Just imagine Adam standing there saying, don't worry about it, Eve, I've got a plan, I'll fix it, I've got it sorted. But they hadn't fixed it. They had only covered it. You see, the problem was not external. The problem was internal. The issue was sin, shame, separation, and fear. And they tried to cover it with fig leaves, but it was only God who could cover it with grace. You see, we've been sewing fig leaves together ever since. We try to hide our pain behind success. We try to hide our sin behind excuses, insecurity behind confidence, brokenness behind busyness, and fear behind control. But normally we find that fig leaves do not last. They might look fine for a moment, but they cannot heal shame or restore their relationship with God. And Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And that's quite a strong verse. But it reminds us that brokenness is deeper than behavior. We often want God to change our circumstances, but actually God wants to transform our hearts. We often want a quick repair, a quick fix, but God wants a new creation. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 says, give us this incredible promise from God. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And God doesn't say, sort it out yourself, repair your own heart. He doesn't say, try harder with the heart that you've got. He says, I will give you a new heart. This is grace. That's restoration. And that is the work of God. Humanity breaks what God made good, but God does not walk away. God comes looking, God covers shame, God promises a savior, God begins the rescue plan that leads all the way to Jesus. And we know that Jesus grew up in a carpenter's household. We know that Joseph was a carpenter. So Jesus would have understood wood, tools, building, shaping, repairing, and working with his hands. He would have understood broken pieces and the importance of foundations. And spiritually, he still does. You see, Jesus is the master builder. He knows how to rebuild a life. He knows how to restore what sin has damaged and heal what disappointment has wounded. And let me encourage you today that Jesus specializes in restoration. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." And Psalm 147 verse 3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." And that is the heart of God. He doesn't throw away broken people. We as people might do that, but God does not discard people because they're damaged. Instead, he restores them. When furniture breaks, you know, we might just throw it away. But God's not like that. God sees value where others see waste. God sees possibility where others see failure. And God sees restoration where others see ruin. You know, people might say, "Oh, he's never going to change." But God says, "I can give them a new heart." You know, people might point and say, "That marriage, it's finished. It's done. There's no going back." But God says, "I can bring healing." People might say, "Oh, that son or daughter, they've just gone too far." But God says, "No one is beyond my reach." And every DIY project starts with a bit of confidence, doesn't it? You know, you look at a job and you're like, "Oh, that will just take 20 minutes. It'll be fine, done in no time." But 4 hours later, there's screws still left. There's something upside down. You're left looking at the instructions, a YouTube tutorial, and you're wondering just how it all went a bit wrong. Well, that's just me anyway. But life can be like that. We often think, "Oh, we can handle it. It'll be fine." But then grief arrives. Disappointment arrives. Sickness arrives. Conflict arrives. Temptation arrives, and the pressure piles on. And suddenly we realize we need help beyond ourselves. And Jesus gives us this invitation. In Matthew 11, verse 20, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And Jesus, he doesn't say, "Fix it yourself and then come along." He doesn't say, "Sort the mess and then I'll show up." He says, "Come to me. Come weary, come burdened, come broken, come honest, just come as you are." And the promise is rest. And not just a pretend rest, not religious performance, but real rest for weary souls. And you know, for many of us, one of the hardest things that we have to say is, "I don't know what to do." Well, speaking personally, I know that I can find it hard to say, "I don't know what to do." It can be especially strong, it can be especially hard, especially if you like to be a strong person, because it can often feel like you're a failure. It's embarrassing. It feels weak, admitting that you are not capable. Yet one of the greatest prayers in Scripture begins exactly there. 2 Chronicles verse 20, chapter 20, verse 12 says, "King Jehoshaphat prayed, 'We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you.'" What a prayer that is. To me, that is real faith. Faith is not pretending that we have all the answers. Faith says, "Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you." Strength says, "I can handle it," but faith says, "Lord, I need you." Control says, "I must fix this," but faith says, "Father, I trust you." And there comes a moment when wisdom is just not enough. Effort's not enough. Discipline is not enough. And experience is not enough. We need divine intervention. We need Jesus. And that's not a weakness. That is dependence. And dependence on God is often where the miracles begin. And I don't know if it's a dad thing or maybe it's just the men in my life kind of thing. But often they don't like to rely on sat-nav. Now, I can't read a map. I really do need sat-nav. I have a really poor sense of direction. But you know that way when you're in the car and the sat-nav says, oh, turn left, but they're like, oh, actually, no, I think I know a better way. But 45 minutes later, everywhere is somewhere they've never been before, and we've just called it the scenic route. Well, spiritually, we can do the same thing. You know, God says, this is the way, but we go, oh, no, I think there's a better way. You know, God says, forgive people, but we say, nope, I'm going to hold on to it. God says, trust me, but we say, no, Lord, I need to be in control. And God says, surrender, but we say, no, it's all right, I'll manage it by myself. Well, Isaiah 30, verse 21 says, whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. His wisdom, his timing are way better than ours. God knows the perfect route, and our job is simply to trust him. Philippians 4, verses 6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But prayer is often the thing that we do after we've tried everything else. But Scripture teaches us that prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. You know, some of us, or maybe it's just me, have worn ourselves out trying to fix things that we were meant to bring to God. We've worried about it, we've lost sleep over it, and we've carried the weight on our shoulders. But God is inviting us today to surrender. And surrender doesn't mean that we stop caring. It means that we stop pretending that we are God. Surrender doesn't mean that we do nothing. It means that we do what God asks us to do, and we trust him with only what he can do. But let's come back to Psalm 127, verse 1, that verse I said right at the beginning. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And this verse, it's more than just bricks and mortar. You see, a house can have walls, it can have windows, it can have a roof, it can have lovely furniture. But a home is shaped by love, prayer, faith, forgiveness, kindness, and the presence of God. And this verse reminds us that we are all builders. We build families, we build friendships, we build faith, we build culture, we build church, we build influence, memories, and legacy. The question is not whether we are building. The question is, what are we building and who is building it with us? And as we think about fathers today, there is often a great pressure on fathers to feel that they are providing. And provision matters. Paying bills matters. Working hard really matters. But our responsibility is not only provision, it is also spiritual leadership. Our families don't need perfect fathers. Our children do not need perfect parents, thank goodness. And the church does not need perfect leaders. What people need are men and women who know where to turn when life breaks. One of the most powerful things I believe that a child can see is a parent who prays. Not a perfect parent, not a parent who always gets it right, and not a parent who has all the answers, but a parent who knows how to say, we need Jesus. You know, one day, I don't believe that people will gather at your funeral and talk for 20 minutes about how lovely your wallpaper was, how straight it was, what an incredible collection of power tools you had. But people will remember who you were. People will remember how you loved. People will remember whether your faith was real. They will remember whether you forgave. They will remember whether you prayed. And they will remember whether you pointed them towards Jesus. Joshua 24, verse 15 says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua understood that the strongest foundation for a home is not wealth, it's not image, it's not achievement, it's not comfort. It is God. The greatest thing that we can build is not simply a successful life, but a Jesus-centered legacy. Long after the tools are put away, a life of faith will continue to influence future generations. And for me, that is a legacy worth building. So what do we do with all of this today? Maybe you're carrying something broken, a relationship, a dream, a burden, a regret, a family situation, a private struggle, and a wound that maybe nobody else sees. And maybe you've been trying to fix it all by yourself. Maybe you've been busy sowing fig leaves. And maybe you've been holding everything together with your own strength. And maybe you've been telling everyone, it's okay, I'm fine, I'm good, it's all okay. But deep down, you know that you are tired. Well, God's word is really simple, and that is, bring it to him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And that verse doesn't say, just cast some of it, the bits that you want, the bits that you're happy to acknowledge. It says, cast all your anxiety on him. And why? Because he cares for you. Isn't that an awesome thought? This is the heart of the Father. He cares for you. Not just the strong version of you, not just the Sunday version of you, not just the version that has it all together. He cares for the real you. And Romans 8, verse 28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And that doesn't mean that everything that happens is good. I think we all know that. Some things are painful, and some leave us with questions we cannot answer. But God is able to bring purpose out of pain, beauty out of brokenness, testimony out of trouble, and good out of what the enemy meant for harm. And that's not DIY. That is the power of God. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. You see, God's not limited by what we can imagine. He's not limited by what we can see. He's not limited by what we can work out. He is not limited by what we can fix. What you cannot fix, God can restore. What you cannot heal, God can heal. What you cannot carry, God can carry. DIY has its limits, but God does not. The greatest repair work in history happened at the cross. Humanity was broken by sin. Relationship with God had been damaged. Shame, guilt, and death had entered the story. No amount of religion, effort, achievement, good intentions, or self-improvement could fix it. And God didn't just send us a YouTube tutorial. He sent us a savior. Jesus came into our broken world. He lived the life that we could never live. He died the death that we deserved to die. He carried our sin, our shame, our guilt, and our failure on the cross. He rose again in victory, not simply to make us slightly better, but to make us new. And 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. And you know that is quite simply just the gospel. We are not simply patched up. We are not just repaired enough to keep going. We are not covered over with spiritual fig leaves. We are made new in Christ. So today, let's be encouraged to stop trying to be our own savior. Let's stop trying to carry what only God can carry. Let's stop pretending we are fine when we're not. Let's stop covering things that God wants to heal. Let's stop holding on to the broken pieces when Jesus is inviting us to bring them to him. Maybe today you need to bring your family. Maybe you need to bring your marriage. Maybe you need to bring your children, your past anxiety, disappointment, sin, or maybe you just need to bring your weariness to him. Maybe today you simply need to say, Lord, I do not know what to do. but my eyes are on you. And that's not a weak prayer, that is a faith-filled prayer. Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Not a distant help, not a reluctant help, not a last-minute help, an ever-present help in trouble. And that means that he is present in the middle of the mess. The questions, the grief, the pressure, the tears, and the situations you still do not know how to fix. God is not waiting for you to sort it all out before he comes near. He comes near because he loves you. So just as we're coming to close today, I want to give you a chance to respond. Because we can't talk about this and then not have an action. I don't want people leaving here today feeling the same burdens that they had as they came in. So we want to make space and we want to make time for you to be prayed for and prayed with today. So I just want to invite the band to come back. And if our prayer ministry team, if they would also like to come forward. Because like I say, I want to make space and time for us to respond to God this morning. Because this is not just a nice Father's Day thought. It's an invitation from the heart of our Heavenly Father. As he says, bring it to me. Bring the broken pieces. Bring the things that you cannot fix. Bring the prayers that you've almost stopped praying because you just think nothing's happening. Bring the people that you're worried about. Bring the pressure that you have been carrying. Bring it to him. And maybe you're here and you know that you need prayer. Maybe you are tired of trying to fix everything yourself, and maybe you need to surrender something to God. Maybe you need to come back to Jesus. Maybe you need to receive his forgiveness. Maybe you need to ask him to restore what you know is broken. So our prayer team are here, they're available, and there's nothing weak or shameful about saying, I need you, Jesus. That's where the freedom begins. And maybe for some dads or men in the room, today is a moment to say, Lord, help me build with you at the centre. Help me love well. Help me pray first. Help me leave a legacy of faith. Maybe, as we've said before, for some, Father's Day is a bit painful. Well, today you can come to the perfect Father, the one who never leaves, the one who never fails, the one who restores, heals, forgives, and holds us close. Because some dads can fix almost anything, but only God can fix everything. What man cannot fix, God will restore. What sin has damaged, grace will redeem. What shame has covered, mercy can cleanse. And what grief has broken, love can heal. And what feels dead, Jesus can bring back to life. So let's take this opportunity today to bring those broken pieces to him. Like I say, I don't want anyone leaving today feeling that they've not had the opportunity to unburden those burdens that they've been carrying. So please come forward. Our prayer ministry team are here and they're ready to serve. Please take the opportunity.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.